Gun regulation is currently a hot topic as school shootings keep on grabbing national attention. In order to take a step back and understand where we are now as a country with gun regulation, Wyoming Public Radio's Camila Kudelska spoke with two gun historians. We start off the conversation speaking with David Coppell. He's the research director at the Independence Institute at the University of Denver about when gun control started in the United States.
Early on, in some senses, the Virginia colony was chartered in 1606 and the settlement started in 1607. Like most of the colonies that later developed, they had gun controls that mandated gun ownership by basically by every head of a household.
I imagine post-Civil War, were there any big gun regulation changes?
I mean, gun control had existed. You know, a city might have a law against, like, don't shoot a gun off, you know, within city limits. And so after the Civil War, the objective of the former slave states was they accepted that slavery was over. But they tried to keep slavery going in a de facto by enacting laws that were modeled on the slave codes. This is a time in the 1870s and 1880s when Tennessee and Arkansas are actually the center of gun control in the United States. And so they said, we ban all handguns except the Army and Navy model. And of course, you know, the former Confederate officers, they had their high quality handguns, mm-hmm. and, you know, people who could afford to buy a really good gun could afford to buy one. But poorer people, you know, maybe they couldn't afford such a nice handgun. The effect of them was to price them out of the handgun market intentionally.
Were there any social movements that influenced gun regulations? So I'm kind of thinking also of mass migration into cities.
One social movement was the Ku Klux Klan. They're not only America's first domestic terrorist organization, but also our first gun control group. They were ex-Confederate soldiers and had horses, which gave them mobility. The New York laws in general, that was backlash against mass migration of particularly of Italians and Jews.
And what was the reaction of the citizens when the federal government kind of started butting in with gun regulations and restricting certain guns?
When it got to something that was considered substantial by citizens, such as handgun restrictions, it was powerful to tell the federal government not to do it. So the first instance of that at the federal level is President Roosevelt's attorney general was pushing something called the National Firearms Act, which would require federal taxation and registration on certain guns.
Just looking at present day right now, do you think that we are at a point right now where there's the most gun regulations we've ever had?
No, I'd say we have much less than we had. I mean, if you look at the number of words of federal law, that would be true. But I'd say we have less regulation in some ways than we did in much more dangerous high crime periods in American history, like the 70s and 80s. In 1975, the number of states where a law-abiding adult could carry a handgun in public places for lawful protection was only about a half dozen states like that. And now it's 42 states.
Thank you for speaking with me.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That was David Coppell with the Independence Institute at the University of Denver. Now I'm joined by Adam Winkler. He's a professor at UCLA and the author of Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms.
Well, gun control is as old as the Second Amendment itself. The framers who wrote the Second Amendment had gun regulations prohibiting people from owning guns if they were not trustworthy. The framers included not only African-Americans and slaves, but also loyalists.
Were there any social movements that influenced gun regulations in the United States?
The growth of cities and the rise of 20th century immigration led to new gun control laws, helped motivate gun control laws in the 1920s and 30s, restricting who could carry guns on the streets. Part of that was built on a concern for foreigners who were carrying guns and were likely to use them at the spur of the moment. So some of that was racialized, some of that was xenophobic in nature. But not just that, there was a concern with the rise of the great cities. There was an increased effort in those cities to limit who could have guns on the streets.
And was this mainly state regulations?
Yes, for the most part. Although there were early forms of federal gun regulation, but not of the sort that we would recognize as restrictive gun laws. So, for instance, the Uniform Militia Act in the 1790s, a federal law passed by Congress, mandated that free citizens outfit themselves with a firearm.
Huh. The federal government started getting involved in 1934. Could you maybe just talk about that a little bit more?
Sure. Well, the National Firearms Act of 1934 was part of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal for crime. He not only had a New Deal for the economy, but also had what he called a New Deal for crime. And the National Firearms Act was part of that effort to build a broader federal law enforcement capacity.
And what was the reaction of the federal government trying to regulate guns?
Well, at first, the federal government's Roosevelt wanted to push for restrictions on even handguns. Gun owners, even back before the NRA was a powerhouse, were enough of a political force to stop that from happening. And there's really never been much of an effort since to significantly restrict handguns outside of a city here or a city there.
If we're looking at gun regulation that we have right now, would you say that it's the most restrictive?
I don't think so at all. I think that would be inaccurate. There's probably more gun laws today than there ever has been. And there's a variety of ways in which the gun industry is regulated much more than it was ever regulated previously. However, our laws are in many ways more permissive today than they were 100 years ago. Now, there's other ways in which we're more restrictive. We have background checks, which, of course, we didn't have for much of our history. So it's a complex story, but there are ways in which, in the push and pull of gun politics, there are ways in which our laws are looser than they were once before.
Adam Winkler, professor at UCLA and the author of Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms. And before him, we heard from David Kopel with the Independence Institute at the University of Denver.